Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you wish, as I sometimes do, that Jesus were still carrying out his public ministry of healing in these days of COVID-19? The whole city was gathered around the door of Simon and Andrew's house. Jesus casting out of the demons was considered, which we considered last week, and his healing of Peter's mother-in-law were magnetic in drawing the people of Capernaum to him. And no wonder, since a fever that kept the first century woman in her bed without the means for a cure that we have today likely would have killed her. The healing seems so effortless, doesn't it? He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. The Greek verb that Mark used, egero, that our text translates as lifted up, is the same one he often used in describing Jesus' other healings, such as the boy who appeared to be dead after he had been freed of evil spirits. That's in chapter 9. And it's the same verb that Mark put in the mouth of the young man in the tomb to describe what had happened to Jesus when the women came seeking his body on Sunday morning. There, the NRSV translates it as raised up. It suggests that new strength is imparted to those laid low by illness, by unclean spirits, or even by death, so that they may again rise up to take their place in the world. And even more interesting is what happened after Jesus lifted up the woman. Then the fever left her and she began to serve them. Once again, the Greek verb that Mark used to describe the healed woman gives us insight. Diakoneo, from which we get the title deacon, was also the same verb for serve that Jesus uses to describe the essence of his own ministry in Mark chapter 10. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. So Jesus restored the life force necessary for Peter's mother-in-law to take up her vocation, her role of providing hospitality, and to be engaged in that way in discipleship. This is Jesus' identity and authority. The service he enables brings new life out of death. So what does it mean to us to participate in the work of the realm of God on earth? How is God loose in our world today? Maybe in the guise of the medical workers caring for people with COVID or caring for others so that they aren't stricken by the disease. Or the delivery drivers, the daycare providers, the stockers and sackers and cashiers in the grocery stores and pharmacies, the cooks and the waiters in restaurants. Remember the long list that we used to pray for each week? After several months, I thought that people were just waiting for us to get through that list each week. So I changed the prayer. But I had a suspicion that people would still have that long list in their minds. And that way, since those people were still essentially serving us, I hoped that we would lift up a silent prayer for each of them. How is each one of us participating with God day in and day out? It's a fine line to draw between making ourselves available to others and being good stewards of our bodies by isolating and distancing and masking ourselves, isn't it? There are times when we just are so tired of being alone that we want to get into a familiar activity with loved ones and friends, like watching the Super Bowl tonight. Sometimes it's hard to make the call, but a simple, "Help me decide, dear God," prayer assists us in making the decision. And sometimes that short prayer gives us an alternative to the risky behavior we had contemplated. Maybe you can satisfy your urge for a Super Bowl party with snacks with your family and a visit to Grace's website to make a donation to the Super Bowl of Caring appeal to help others who have no snacks today, no soup, which is where the Super Bowl of Caring name came from. After all, it's snowing, right? When we seek God's guidance in this way, we are waiting for the Lord, as Isaiah said. And we know what follows from there. We will renew our strength. We shall mount up with wings like eagles. We shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. When we live in discipleship, we have a personal relationship with God. And God challenges us to relate. To whom then will you compare me? Isaiah asks the word of the Lord. Well, in fact, God often makes such comparisons in scripture, comparisons of God's own self to a savior, to a potter, to a warrior, to a shepherd, to a woman in labor, to a friend, to a helper, to a mother, to a lover, and so on. Each of these images that I've just mentioned is consistent with humanity, with human beings, like the human beings we are, created in God's image. We can know all these aspects of God and develop an even closer relationship through that knowing, and still realize that the Holy One is without equal. For that reason, we can shout with the psalmist, "Alleluia, how good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant it is to honor God with praise." And sometimes we find ourselves needing to share that sheer joy in our relationship with God. We can do that like Paul did. He teaches, "To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. We sometimes think that Paul here is saying that we should be dishonest by changing who we are, depending on who we're with. Instead, I think that he's suggesting that in order to bring the good news to people, we have to learn their languages, their customs, and their values, so that we can present and explain the gospel in terms that are understandable to them, because they don't have the kind of relationship with God that we do. So there's little point in our wishing that Jesus were still carrying out his public ministry in this time of COVID-19, because he appointed us to do that as his disciples. He told us that the one who believes in him will also do the works that he does, and in fact, will do greater works than these. Let's pray. Dear God, we ask your guidance to be faithful to the vocation to which you have called each one of us. We want to serve you, but sometimes we need your guidance and support to know how to be dependable. Order our steps, dear Lord, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.